Good morning, Crossroads. We continue our series today on Get Desperate. And guess what we're getting desperate for this morning? Worship. Good. So we're talking about worship today. We're going to be talking about getting that part of our lives where we want to focus on God and get stronger in our worship and what we do and what we see and what we experience in all of who God is. And one of the things we talk about worship is that as we come together from so many different backgrounds that we all view it slightly differently. We all have many ideas about what we're comfortable with in worship and what we're not comfortable with in worship. And often when I've heard sermons about worship, it's all been about the how-to. And it's been about, you know, everybody raise your hands, everybody sing and dance before the Lord. And some people are going, he's talking about worship again, and I don't want to do that. And you know, that's quite all right this morning, because I'm not going to talk about the how-to. I want to talk to you about why. I want to talk to you about the reason that there is in our lives that we need to worship God for who he is and what he is, because there's so many things that can distract us and take us away from it along the way. And if we're not careful, we'll get distracted from the things that God wants us to have as we are worshiping him. We can easily get distracted. We focus on different music that we like, and there's so much good worship music out there right now from so many different places. We have different people that are doing it. There's Lauren Daigle, there's Casting Crowns, there's For King and Country, there's the Hillsong Worship, there's the Elevation Worship, there's Planet Shakers, there's so many different people that worship. There's even Gaithers. Gospel Quartets. Amen. I like black gospel music myself. I like it. But there's all those different kinds that are there. But sometimes when we are in a place where things are different from what we are used to, we can get uncomfortable with it. And so it's not about the how-to. It's about why we do it and why it's important to us in our lives and how it needs to sort of come from inside of us out into the things around us in our lives. So that's where we're going to spend our time this morning. So if we take a look, first of all, this morning, we're going to take a look here. Get the first slide up. There we go. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Says to us this, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. First thing we need to learn about worship this morning is it's not about me. That's a hard one. Everybody will go yes to that initially. They go, yeah, no, I agree. No, it's not about me. It's not about God. Until we need something. Right? All of a sudden, it's, God, I need you now, and I need you now, and I need your answer now. Are you going to worship? Here's what he's telling us here. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. When we understand what worship is and how God works in our lives, we need to start from an understanding of what he's done for us, who he is to you, and who he is to you in your life. See, when we become a Christian, God comes and he saves us. He comes into our lives. He comes and the Holy Spirit comes and resides within us. And God saves us and we're born again by the Spirit of God. Thank you, Jesus. It's a good thing that that happens. But part of that, when we do that, we now belong to him. We commit ourselves to him and to who he is and what he wants to do and how he wants to work in our lives. We give over our control to him. And then we fight to keep from taking it back. Because God now wants to work in us and through us because of who he is and what he is. He wants us to understand that he is God and we are not. That's a tough one sometimes. We want to tell God what to do and how to do it. And it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. We want to experience God in a way that is somehow we can get him to do. God is real when he does what we want him to and how we ask him to. And that's not what it's about. The scripture says that you are to present your bodies. Now, sometimes we think about our Christian walk as a solely spiritual thing. It's not a spiritual thing. It's a life thing. He's saying here, you are to give your bodies as living sacrifices to God. What? Yeah. How do we give our bodies as living sacrifices to God? How is that possible that we can give to God these bodies as a living sacrifice to Him and present it to Him and say, okay, God, now you take it, you use it the way you want to use it, you go ahead and have it happen with you. How can we do that and remain without fear and without struggling and be consistent with it? I want to look at a couple guys in Scripture this morning who had to go through something like that in order to get to where they were. It's Paul and Silas. And let me just tell you a little bit about the backstory here. We're in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas were in Philippi. And as they were in Philippi, they got up one morning and they were going to the place of prayer. And as they went along, a young girl came up to them who had possessed by a spirit. She was a slave girl. But the spirit that she had, this demonic spirit, allowed her to foretell the future. And her owners loved it because they made lots of money on it and on her. And as Paul and Silas walked around, this girl would come behind them and say, behold, these are the men of God who are showing you the way to have peace with God. Behold, these men declare the truth. Behold, these are men of God declaring God's goodness and God's grace. These are God's messengers. And they would go on and on and on with his message. And finally, Paul got ticked off at this whole process. And he turned around and said, demon, come out. And he set her free from the spirit that had captured her. And when he did that, the spirit was gone, she was free, but now she could no longer foretell the future, and so her owners were really ticked off, really upset. So they hauled Paul and Silas before the town, said these men are stirring up problems and are causing all kinds of difficulty, and the people got mad, and they came along and got a part of that as well, were really upset about everything that was happening on. And we'll pick up the story in verse 22. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. And after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. And when he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. Have you ever been doing the right thing and the wrong thing happens? You ever had that happen to you? You're out there and you're doing what you know is right and you're doing what you're supposed to do. And then something goes sideways on and all of a sudden you're in trouble for doing the right thing. Here's Paul and Silas. They were out there doing what God wanted them to do. And oh man, I don't know about you, but those times when you get doing the right thing and the wrong thing happens, those cause some confusion sometimes inside of us. It was unfair. It was unjust. There was nothing good or right about it at all. And they were hauled into prison. And it says they were taken to the innermost cell, which is somewhere down in the dungeons of the prison. And they were locked in shackles. But before that happened to them, they were beaten with rods. Now, those rods they were beaten with ranged in thickness from about 1 inch to 2 inches thick. And it says, the scripture says they were severely beaten. Severely beaten with rods. So when they arrive into the dungeon in prison, they're bleeding. They're sore. It's possible they've got broken bones from the beating. And in this dungeon, which is the deepest, darkest, innermost place of the prison, they were down in the bottom most secure area. And in that spot, it was ugly. It stank. There were rats. And in all likelihood, there was no light. And most of those prisons had very low ceilings. And so they were put into this and they were locked in that place, in that cell. For doing the right thing. for doing the thing that they thought was the right thing before God, for doing the thing that was most important to them to go and do what God wanted me to do, for reaching out and trying to help people and do something for other people. They were blocked into this horrible situation for doing something that was they thought was right, and it wasn't fair, it wasn't good, it wasn't there was nothing in it they could see of themselves. And the place that they were put now into this prison left them completely hopeless. Have you ever been hopeless? Ever been in that place of hopelessness where you don't see a way out? That place that's so constrictive, so overwhelming, so completely frustrating. And your natural response in that is to be filled with fear and anger and frustration. That's the normal response. That's how I'd respond. It'd be my first. That would be the first thing that I'd probably do. I'd probably let God know too. God, this ain't right. God, why? How many times have you asked why? Right? Why? Why? Why do my kids not listen to me? Why does my spouse not listen to me? Why is it happening at work? Why did this take place? Why did the doctor report? Why did I get laid off? Why am I hearing bad things? People talk about bad things about me. Why? And in the middle of that, that's our normal response in there. Now, before I go any further, sometimes we carry a condemnation upon ourselves when we get feeling those grief and that lament. In Scripture, there's lots of lamenting going on in Scripture. In fact, there's an entire book called Lamentations, which is all about people going, oh, woe is me stuff, okay? There's that that's there. And also in there, there's David, who happens to be one of the great kings of Israel. And in Psalm 69, he talks about how he went through all of the difficult things that he was facing and all of the struggles that he would have along the way. Let me just read you some of the things that David said in Psalm 69. He says, save me, O God, for the waters have come up around to my neck. I sink in the miry depths, for there is no foothold. I have come into the deep waters. The flood engulfs me. I'm worn out calling for help. My throat is parched. My eyes fail looking for God. Those who hate me without reason number the hairs on my head. My enemies are without cause. Those who seek to destroy me. He's not in good shape. Although when he said the enemies number the hairs on my head, I felt pretty good about that one. Just saying. But he's gone. He's in that place. But he didn't stay there. David didn't stay there. He comes along and he says this. Same psalm. Down in verse 30. He says, I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. Verse 34, let heaven and earth praise him, and the seas and all that is around, all that is move him, praise the Lord. He went to that place of praise. Paul and Silas are in this prison. And at the very least, they would have been tempted to grumble. But they did something else. They responded in a different way. Verse 25. About midnight. Okay, so they'd been there a while. About midnight. The darkest time of the night. Remember, they're bleeding. They're sore. They're in shackles. They're wrapped up in all of this stuff going on around them. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Man, how could they, how can they do that? To be able to sing and praises to God in the midst of that, in the midst of their circumstances, in the midst of all the things that are going on. It became that way for them because they knew and they understood deep within them what their heart was to be before God. They understood who God was and who he was to them and who they were to him. They understood that. They understood that I've given myself to God, and therefore if I've given myself to God and I'm trusting Him in everything that I do and trusting Him in all that I am and trusting Him in everything that I want to be, in the middle of this, I can start to sing praises to God. Now, they weren't praising God for the situation. They were praising God in the situation. And they learned that worship in that was so important for them. They started to worship God. They started to praise God. They started to lift Him up. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says, God says, it speaks and says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future." God's working in your life right now. He's there. He's working in your life. He's doing it right now. He's speaking into your life truth and grace and goodness and power. He's speaking into your life the things that you need to have. But He's also telling you that what you need to have is not for your comfort. It's for His glory. That turns some people off sometimes in their walk with God. We think we come to God so that we can be comfortable. We don't come to God so we can be comfortable. We come to God so that we can have comfort going through the mess of life. Right? You go through, I don't know, anybody been through a mess in life? Okay, anybody not been through a mess in their life? It's going through the stuff that we have to go through. We have to go through it. That's what God tells us He's there for. He will take us through those things. And Paul and Silas knew this. And to them, it was like, we're here. There's nothing I can do about it. But you know what? I still know who God is. And in the middle of this, I'm going to praise God. And in the middle of this, I'm still going to let go of me, and I'm going to praise God. I'm still through the pain that I'm feeling, through the broken tooth and split lip, through the stench, through the darkness, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to worship Him. When it looks really ugly, I'm going to worship Him. God's able to take and to move and to cause us to experience what He has. And when we are in a place where we're looking around at our situation and we don't understand why, or we don't know, we don't think it's fair, we don't think it's good, we stand in that place and God says to us, "Are you going to worship me there where you are now? Are you going to worship me there where you are now? Or are you going to turn away? Are you going to worship me in the midst of what you're struggling with? Are you going to worship me in the midst of your hurt? Of the betrayal that you're going through? Are you going to worship me in the midst of that? Because in the midst of that, I can work," He says. I can come along and I can help you and I can work in the midst of what you're going through. I can do that for you. I can take you and I can move you through that. I really can. Just trust me. This is who I'm here for. This is what I'm here for. I'm here to help you. He's going to build His kingdom through us, but in the midst of all the things that we are going through, He'll be there to help us along the way and make us strong and right before God. Worship is a spiritual connection with God. It really is. It's a spiritual connection with God. This is a quote from Darlene Check. Some of you know Darlene Check. She was one of the original people with Hillsong Music. She wrote "Shout to the Lord." You know, "Shout to the Lord all the earth." She wrote that. Quite a story about how that came to be along the way. The church in Hillsong Church in Australia was just getting prepared to do a major album, the first album of worship of its kind for them. They are one of the forerunners of what we call that style of worship music with the Passion Band, the Bethel music, with Elevation Worship. They're the forerunners of that style of worship right now. They've been doing this for years. But the church was just getting ready to put their first album out. They had a worship leader in their church who 2 weeks before the album was due to come out, he quit and took most of his band with him. And he left in a very sort of fracturous, nasty situation. Darlene, check, was one of the other worshipers in the church, but she wasn't the worship leader. So the pastor, Brian Houston, came and said, we have this coming up. Can we still do the album? She says, sure. She says, by the way, I've got this song. It's called Shout to the Lord. I think we can do it. So they went ahead in what looked like a very black situation, very dark situation for the church and for their music. Their music team had disappeared on them. I've got the song. And they recorded their album, the very first album. And they recorded Shout to the Lord. One of the songs that had the most impact around the world and launched a whole new type of worship music. She has this quote about worship. It's from her book that she's written entitled Extravagant Worship. She says this: true worship is when your spirit adores and connects with the Spirit of God. It is when the core of your very being is found loving Him and lost in Him. It is not about the band, the choir, a style of music, or any other external thing. The essence of worship is your heart and soul and all that is within you connecting with the Spirit of God. It is about you connecting with Him. It's not about the music. What? See, when we talk about worship, most people go, oh, the music. Right? We go, oh, the music. But no, it's not about the music. It is about us connecting with God. And when our spirit connects with God's spirit, there is something that happens as we worship Him and His spirit comes and starts to touch and work within us. Listen, you can be sitting at home and you can raise your hands and you can start to worship God while you're sitting in the bathtub. And you can be there and you can worship God and His Spirit of God will come and will meet you there. And all of a sudden, it changes things. All of a sudden, it changes what you are experiencing. All of a sudden, it gives you a different perspective on what you want to do and where what you want to be. It gives you a different look at all those things that are going on. You have to start to see it and worship it different and not worry about what it looks like. I was in a church one time. Sharon and I have had an opportunity to go to a number of churches in a number of different places and experience various kinds of worship, some very raucous worship, some very sedate worship. We were in a church one time where we were up near the front on the right-hand side of the service, and there was an aisle down here like this, and there was a lady there that liked to dance with flags for worship. And she would get out, and she wasn't in front of the congregation, she was just at the side, she would take her flag and wave it around. But then she started to do something. She went to the guy two rows ahead of me sitting on the end of the aisle. I was on the end of the aisle. She went to the guy two rows ahead of me and she grabbed him by the arm and pulled him out and stuck a flag in his hand. I said, come on, worship with me, wave the flag. And immediately within me I went, don't you come near me with that flag. I'm not good. And I started to concentrate on don't come near me with the flag, and I lost worship. I lost my connection with God because I got distracted by something else. We can get distracted from what God has from us in our own worship if we see somebody beside us who's raising their hands if you're not comfortable with that. You can get distracted from worshiping God when they're doing something different than what you are most comfortable with, from where you came from what you do and what you experience most in your life. You can get distracted from those things and you can lose this connection that God wants us to have, this very real connection that God wants us to have, because we focus on something that's out there. Worship is our spirit in here connecting with the Spirit of God there, and then all of a sudden it's different. I've been in church services where there was a move of the Spirit of God that just flowed through. And it wasn't wild or wacky. It was just, oh, you could feel it just going through. Because our spirit connects with God's spirit. And the people started to worship God. You know what? When we come into church to worship, we often look at the platform and we say, there's the worshipers. Come on, lead me. Worship for me. And we often get to the point where, worship for me. We're very fortunate here. We've got some great worshipers, some great musicians in our church and worshipers that are here. They're gifted in that way. But it's not their job to worship for us. Their job is to help us move into the place where we and our spirits are able to connect to God the most. And worship should actually, if it starts here on the platform, it should, by the time we're done singing, be focused coming from there rather than from here. It should be coming from us, because the purpose of this worship is not to fill time. The purpose of this worship is not to sing songs. The purpose of this worship up here is not because it's what we do on a Sunday morning. We have our four songs and we sing our songs and we do that, and that's a good thing. Okay, and now what time? Oh, the kids are going out in 2 minutes here, so this is good. Yeah, get rid of the kids. This is good because, you know, we'll get them out of here. And then, oh yeah, okay, now the preacher's coming on. Okay, yeah, it's like 5 after 11. You should be done by now. What's the matter with them? And then, you know, we get wrapped up in all of those kind of things, and we lose sight of what it is. Worship is about us, not about the band. Worship is about us connecting with God. Worship is about us setting aside the problems and the things that are unfair and unright in our lives, and worshiping God in the midst of it all, and seeing what God has to do, what God wants to do in everything that God has for them, and what God wants to do along the way. Psalm 27, verse 3 says, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel." That word "inhabits" in the Hebrew, I love it. It says, to sit down and remain sitting. God comes, he sits down, and he remains sitting. So, okay, I'm here. See, we've got the Holy Spirit within us at the moment we become Christians, but we still have this opportunity to have a connection with God that is so strong that when he comes, he can meet us and he can touch us in the midst of what our hurts are, in the midst of what we're going through. Even in the midst of our joy, he can come and meet with us. And it says that he inhabits, he comes and he sits down in your presence. You realize when you worship that God comes and sits down with you? When we worship here, God comes in. Okay. Let's worship. Let's worship. He says, this is sweet. I love this. I love this. This is so good. This is so good. I love it. Come on. Give me some more. Give me some more. And that's where he's at, in the midst of it all, and what God has and what God's doing. In Darlene's book, a little bit later on, she tells about this story. She was just getting ready early on for a 3-week tour of the United States with the Hillsong worship team. They were coming over and they were going to be in a number of churches. And she was 12 weeks pregnant at the time. So her and her husband, Mark, went to see the doctor just prior to this trip. And as they were visited the hospital for the check-in, tragically, they found out that the baby had died in her womb at 12 weeks, just 2 or 3 weeks before she was to go on tour. Here's what she writes. Shattered, brokenhearted, all those things you can think of do not even come close to describing the agony of that moment. We had taken separate cars to the doctor, so I had to drive back to the house by myself with Mark following me. I got in the car and I just didn't know what to think or do. I can't really describe the depth of sadness I was feeling. On the way, in that moment, on the way home, I heard the Holy Spirit whisper, "Sing." In that moment, it was the absolute last thing I wanted to do. So after years of learning it, I'd learned that it's so much better to obey quickly. I started to sing. My head didn't sing. I don't even know if my heart sang, but my soul sang. It was almost involuntary. I sang two songs. By the time I got home, something had transpired in the spiritual realm. I had spoken many times on the power of worshiping through trial. Never before had I experienced the power of God coming so sovereignly and fulfilling His word where it says, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Through being in the sweet presence of our glorious Savior, I was well on the way to complete healing and personal victory. In the midst of her pain, James chapter 4, verse 8 says, come near to God and He will come near to you. You get that? Come near to God, He will come near to you. We often do it the other way around. God, if you'll come near to me, I'll come near to you. But He says, no, you. I want you to take a step towards me. I want you to reach out and understand that what I have for you is great and good and powerful, and that I am the one who can help you. Step towards me, and I will step towards you. Step towards me, and you will start to see what can be real and true, because I will come and I will inhabit. I will sit down in your praises. I will sit down in your praises. The more you let go, the more God can do. Back in the book of Acts, start picking up the story now in verse 26, suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had all escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." The jailer called for lights and rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all others in his house. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. Why? Because Paul and Silas worshiped. There's no way that they knew when they were out preaching that day what was going to happen. They didn't know. They didn't know, and they're being arrested and being beaten and being thrown into prison. They didn't know. They didn't know what any of that was, what any of it meant, what any of it was going to be, and how important it was going to be. They just didn't know. But they did know, if I worship God, I can trust Him. I've given myself to Him. I can trust Him. Whatever happens to me, I can trust Him. And in that worship and in that praise, God did something pretty miraculous and pretty cool. He went and showed His power in ways that they couldn't understand and didn't experience in any other way. Back in the late 1990s, there was a guy by the name of Matt Redman. Heard of Matt Redman? One of those worship leaders. His church was, he was part of a music leader at a church where there was a lot of things going on. It was a very popular church, a very powerful and growing church, a very strong church. And in that church, though, he was part of the worship band and leading. The pastor decided, though, there's something missing. There's something missing. So he wrote this. The pastor's name was Phil Vacci. Pilvachi asked the congregation what they were bringing to God in worship, or if they were just there as consumers soaking up the music. His point was that the band and the church had lost their way in worship, and the only solution was to strip out every diversion and distraction, and that included the entire sound system and the worship band. They'd lost their sense of direction for worship. So here's the church of thousands, and they took away the sound system and the worship band. If you came in here on Sunday morning, and we had no band and no sound system, and pastor stood up and said to you, "We're going to worship," some of you would be really nervous. Some of us would be just like, "I'm not too sure about this." And one of the questions as we're leaving, will the sound system be back next week? Right? Because we're nervous about some of those things. But sometimes it's when you strip that away that you come back to the heart of worship, which is the song that Matt Redman wrote. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you, Lord. It's all about you. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing that I made it. It's all about you. It's all about you. When the music fades, when everything else is gone, it doesn't mean that I stop worshiping. I don't have to have my favorite playlist going to worship. I don't have to have my favorite songs to worship. I don't even have to have music to worship. I'm going to have my spirit connect with God. And I'm going to praise Him, and I'm going to tell Him how much He means to me, and I'm going to tell Him how important He is, and I'm going to tell Him how much that I need to have Him in my life, and how grateful I am for all the things that He's done, how grateful I am that He forgave me for where I came from, how grateful I am He forgave me for the mistakes that I've made, and the things that I've done wrong, and the trials that I've been through, and all the stupidity of my life, and the dumb things I've said to other people. Because He stands here and says, "I love you. Come on." This morning, let's get desperate, not for worship, but to worship. When we get desperate to worship, it's not singing the songs that I'm talking about. That will be a part of it. But it starts from this within us that says, my very being needs to be in contact with God. My very being, my spirit, my soul, I've got to be in connection with God. I've got to have me connecting with Him. And so I will push aside all of the distractions. I will push aside all the unfairness and all of the things that are injustices and all the things people are saying about me. I'll push aside the flag lady. I'll push aside all those other kinds of things that are going on in my life. I'll set them all aside and I will just say, okay, God, I just need you and I want to worship you for me and I want to be part of me with you. And ultimately, worship is like every other area of our walk with God, we should be growing in that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And when we grow in it, we start to experience it. When we grow in it, we start to see what God has for us. When we grow in it, we start to see God in new and more powerful ways all the way along as we grow. But it requires within us a sense that we need to change. I need more of God. I need more. I need more of me connecting with Him. I need more of my being in connection with Him. I need more of God. I need God to come and sit down with me. I need God to come and sit down with me. And love me. And help me and guide me. But I will get that only when I worship Him. and I commit everything I am to Him in every way. God will do that. I encourage you this morning as we're talking about getting desperate. You're going to be in your life groups this week. Those of you that are there, you're going to talk about how we go through things and how we face things and how those things can distract us from God, about what it really means to put ourselves in connection with who God is and to grow and commit to Him and to experience worship beyond music and let God start to teach and work within us. Would you stand, please? I invite the worship team to come up. When Pastor Joel asked me to speak on this, I was a bit concerned, I guess, is one word to describe it. Because there's so much there, but it's also very intimate. Worship is very intimate. Because it speaks to and comes from the deepest parts of you. It requires those deepest parts of you. And sometimes we're afraid to open those parts up to anybody, even God. As we pray together, I ask for you now, if you recognize there's some things within you that hold you back to letting God have complete control of your life. Things that you've been trying to control that you've been afraid to give Him access to. Things that you've been trying to control because you've been hurt by it, because you don't think it's right that it's happened to you like that. I want to ask now that you understand there's a freedom that God gives you when you give Him control of those things, and it frees you up to worship. And when you worship, God can do more things for you, just like He did for Darlene. Just like He did for Darlene. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank You that You are a God who loves us so very, very much. I thank You that you came and You gave us Jesus so that we can have a relationship with You. I thank You that this relationship that we have with You is one that should cause us and will cause us to grow and be strong and be wise in all that You have for us. Lord, I believe that within each one of us there is a desire to worship You deeper and more. I believe, God, that You want to connect with us and we want to connect with You, and we're just uncertain or nervous about how that works out sometimes. So God, help us to just let go of all the distractions, of all the things we hang on to and all of the things that we try to solve ourselves. Lord, let us give it to You. Let us give it to You. I pray, Lord, that You bring joy and peace and strength and the anointing of God into our lives. And that, Lord, we learn to sit down and worship You and experience, Lord, You sitting down with us, you inhabiting our praise. And that closeness of you and us when we need it the most, especially. I pray for your blessing. I pray for your strength. I pray for your healing and your hope and your joy. And I speak your life and goodness over us in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you.